Hi, it's Shayna here. Before this episode starts, I'm popping in with a quick reminder about our upcoming CEU on Thursday, May 16th, on a person-centered approach to behavior management. School taught us a lot about ABA. However, the thing with ABA is that it's a science and it's constantly evolving. So a lot of what we learned back then doesn't always apply now. Today, we want to use a person-centered approach to behavior management. But what does that look like, and how can our learners still make progress in this kind of approach? So join us live on Thursday, May 16th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as Shira discusses how to use a person-centered approach to behavior management with your learners. This CEU is presented by our very own Shira Karpal. You can earn one learning CEU for ACE, QABA, or IBAO. Join us live at this event, or to watch the recording asynchronously, go to howtoaba.com/CEU. See you then.
Hi, I'm Shira Karpal.
And I'm Shayna Gaunt, and we're board certified behavior analysts. At How2ABA, we provide practical resources, community, and support to ABA professionals. In each episode of our podcast, we will be having real conversations with real people sharing real stories about ABA.
We'll share relevant strategies and actionable tips that will make us all better ABA practitioners. It's the ABA content you need that you're not going to learn in a textbook. Today, we are talking about scrolling, what it is, and strategies to help a child who's doing it.
So oftentimes in an ABA program, we're teaching students multiple skills at once. So, you know, we may be teaching a student to mand for cookie, but we may also be teaching a student to identify, you know, three different items, and we may be teaching some gross motor imitation as well, and maybe some following directions. This is often the case in ABA programs. But what also happens is students will come up and they will, you know, do multiple responses because they think that's what you want, what you want and what they need to give you. So for instance, if I'm teaching a student to, you know, I do this and I clap my hands and then I give the student a cookie for clapping their hands, they come up to me and they want the cookie and they, you know, clap their hands and they touch their nose and they might sit down because those are all the skills they're working on. That's what scrolling is. And that happens more That happens a lot, actually. So we need to be talking about what we can do about scrolling and how to prevent it right from the beginning and how to teach these skills, what I call cleanly, right? So it's clean. If I say clap your hands, or if I model clap your hands, the student claps and doesn't do anything else in between.
So what is scrolling? Scrolling can be, you know, it can come in many forms. It could be physical responses that happen. It can be verbal scrolling. And what it is when a client goes through a number of different responses, trying to almost like give you the response that they think that you want. So it's not as intentional in terms of, you know, if you're asking for them to ask for the cookie and they think that if they clap their hands and touch their head and turn around, then because those responses have been reinforced in different forms in the past, maybe that will get them the cookie. So it's a little bit of a guessing game on the client's part to say, well, what response do I have to give you right now to get the thing that I really want out of this? So they're kind of scrolling through all responses that have worked in the past. And because sometimes turning around got me reinforcement, sometimes clapping my hands got reinforcement. So what do I need to do here? You know, like I'm not really sure. So that's one form of scrolling, is scrolling through different responses. There's also verbal scrolling. So sometimes if an error becomes embedded in their verbal responses, or they're not sure what the answer is, and so you say, you know, what shape is it? And it's a circle, and they say, oh, square circle or square triangle circle. They're kind of giving you all the responses that have worked in the past similarly. That's scrolling. They're not giving you the direct response to the question or the behavior that is the one that's going to access reinforcement, just that behavior. So it's kind of going through those multiple responses.
And, you know, why do kids scroll? Shira's already said this, because they're looking for a response from you. They're not a response in a negative way, but they're just looking for whatever's going to get them that reinforcement that they've gotten in the past. So what do I need to do to get this? Very similar to, you know, that old hot, cold game that we sometimes play. As kids, you know, we'll play a hot, cold game, you know, somebody hides something and then some, you know, we walk into a room and, you know, someone says cold and then you move somewhere else and they say hot and then you, you know, bend down down and they say hot, 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 and then you find the item. Well, have you ever played that game and, you know, you're the person who's got to find that item and, you know, you're wanting that feedback of the hot and the cold, and, you know, you move somewhere and they say cold, and you move over and they say hot, and then you move over more because you want more hot, but they don't give you that hot, and you look at them and what's going on there. So you move back to where you were and then you move up and you move down. Some people are going, oh my gosh, the game is so frustrating, because to me it is. I'm like, okay, I'm just searching for that hot. And that's our kids sometimes, right? When they scroll, they're really just searching for that hot. They're searching for that reinforcement. What did I do in the past that's going to get me what I really want? And that's a lot of the reason why kids scroll.
And sometimes it's because it works for them, right? If we're not clear about the contingencies or about keeping that reinforcement contingent, then we're sometimes teaching them to scroll, right? So if we say, touch your head, and they do shoulder, nose, head, but they end at their head and they still get that token or that response still gets some sort of reinforcement, then we're essentially reinforcing that chain. And they start learning that if I do this, 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 when I hear touch my head, then that's also correct. So sometimes it's on us to clean up what those contingencies are for reinforcement and what's accessing reinforcement. I'll see it often with kids who are starting to learn that a picture communication system, where they just learn that any picture that I give you accesses some sort of reinforcement. And if it does, then they'll just give you any picture. They'll go through any number of pictures to give you, because that's also scrolling, giving you multiple pictures, just hoping that one of these things maybe is the right thing. And if that works for them, then we are shaping that behavior to continue.
So what we really need to do is we really need to get clean responding. And that's a lot easier said than done. So I say, but just get clean responding. And you go, well, Shayna, but how do I get clean responding? And the answer to that lies in your error correction procedure. So, you know, you really, A, need to recognize, or teach your therapists to recognize, you know, when a student is scrolling. So that's the first step. So, you know, is this scrolling? Is this scrolling? What's this? And really going, okay, so when a student says triangle, square, circle, when they really just mean circle, that's scrolling. Do not accept that response. The only response to accept is circle, not circle, square, triangle, circle, period. So if a student gives you an incorrect response, meaning they're giving you maybe the circle, but they're giving you a whole bunch of other things in between, we need to stop the trial right then and there, not in a cruel way, just stop, you know. Maybe if it's cards, if they're identifying cards, or if it's receptive labeling, you can even physically take away the cards off the table. Put the cards back, ask again for the, you know, ask the question again, and then prompt that response. So if you say, you know, show me circle, and, you know, right away point to the circle card so that they can point to the circle card. Or if you're holding up a circle and you say, what is it? You immediately, zero time delay, say circle. They say circle, or they point to circle because you prompted them. Make sure that you give that trial it's prompted. Then that's not good enough. Don't end there. Go back and do another, what we call transfer trial. So I would do a prompted trial. So stop, take the cards off the table, put the cards back on the table, you know, ask, you know, show me circle, or what is it? Say circle. Right away, you're prompting circle. Transfer trial means I'm going to re-ask the question. What is it? On the tip of my tongue, I've got ready to prompt, but I might not have to do it. And they start to go, I'm going to circle right in there and get that in there. Get that prompt. Make sure that they're saying circle. They're not saying anything else. Once they're doing that, you want to do what I call a transfer trial, like a clean trial, so that you hold up the card and you say, what is it? And they say circle. You may need to do what I call an expanded trial, which might be something else like, okay, hey, do this. And they clap their hands, or do this and they touch their head. And then you go back and you say, what is it? And they say circle. And that sounds really complicated, but in this, you know, in this video, we're going to give you a free transfer trial visual so you can take a look at it the first few times you do it. But the big thing that I see in therapy when people are scrolling and then therapists come in and try and teach or try and correct that is that they will do a prompted trial, but then they'll leave it at that. So a lot of the times I see something that looks like this. You know, you say, what is it? You know, the student says, you know, square, circle, triangle, and the therapist says circle. And the student says circle. And then they go, okay, well, therapist in the head goes, well, I need to do a transfer trial. So they hold it up and they say, what is it, circle? And the student says, circle. Sure, that's a teaching trial. Sure, that's a prompted trial. And what's the student doing? The student is echoing. So think about your verbal operants here. If the therapist says, what is it, circle? And the student says, circle. That's not a tact, that's an echoic, right? Circle. And if the therapist leaves it at that, what have we taught the student? We've taught the student to echo. Great. Our students are great echoers. We don't want students, the main goal though is to teach students that tact. So what we have to do is what we call an echoic to tact transfer. This could be an echoic to receptive transfer. It could be a manned to tact transfer. It could be different types of transfers. But in this particular example, we're using an echoic to tact transfer. So, you know, I hold up the circle. I say, what is it, circle? The student says, circle, there's your echoic, put the card down, pick the card back up. What is it? The student says, circle. So that is your echoic to tact transfer.
And the other thing to keep in mind is if you're seeing a lot of scrolling responses, both verbal or physical responses, to take a look at your programming. You know, sometimes they're learning skills that aren't meaningful to them, or they're memorizing too many without really understanding, you know, the meaning of some of those skills. You may want to move to more natural or play-based style teaching. You may want to do some more random rotation or maintenance of skills. So also try to take a step back and look at the programming and say, you know, are we really including the components that is necessary? Because sometimes scrolling comes from, you know, not really understanding what that response that's needed. If a child is learning to clap their hands and also learning to say cookie, and when they want a cookie, they clap their hands, then we need to really shape up that response of the manned for cookie. And so doing more natural and meaningful trials where they're saying cookie and getting cookie will really help them understand that it's that manned for cookie that's getting me the cookie, and maybe limiting the cookie only for requesting and not using it as a reinforcer for other responses. So looking at your programming and seeing like, where can I clean things up so that it's less confusing, more natural, incorporating more programs that the client will understand as they're learning.
Functional, for sure. The other thing I would say is that if you've got a student who is scrolling a lot, collect data on it. And, you know, when I look at data, I look at, you know, pluses and minuses, and I see a percentage and I see 30% or 50%, et cetera. But it doesn't give me any information about scrolling. So if you've got a student who is scrolling a lot, you can have the therapist write in a separate code for scrolling. So maybe the therapist writes S instead of a minus, or they write down a triangle instead of an X, or I don't care what they write down, just as long as it's, you know, some type of coding system so that you know if it's a scroll versus an actual error, both the same, but I just want to know what's a scroll. So that you can analyze over time. So you can actually see if your scrolling is increasing or decreasing by the number of S's, scrolls on the graph.
So we talked a lot about what scrolling is, why we might see scrolling in some of our kids, whether in verbal responses or physical responses, how we can help a child who is scrolling, how to decrease some of that scrolling. And we talked about that transfer trial, which is a really important way to use error correction and to be teaching those correct responses.
As I mentioned before, click on the link on or around this video to get your free transfer trial visual cheat sheet.
Thanks for joining today's conversation. Wherever you get your podcast, please go and subscribe, rate, and review so others can find out about us too.
For more from How to ABA, including free resources and ABA materials, visit our blog at howtoaba.com. And make sure that you're following us on social media for more practical tips and updates.